James Hall, and welcome to Restoring Heroes, Real Biblical Manhood in a Counterfeit World, HeroStuffBro.com. Look, I got a whole lot to say in a little bit of time, so I need you to keep your ears peeled and your eyes open. I believe that you can. Look, a little promotion. So my wife has a book out. Men, you have wives. You need to go ahead and go get that book. It's called Did God Really Say? You go to TrustGodCryRepeat.com. TrustGodCryRepeat.com. Did God Really Say? And then her newest book that just got published by Shepherd's Press. Shepherd's Publishing or Shepherd's Press. It's called Better Off Dead. It's called Better Off Dead, you know, Quenching the Lies of Satan or Destroying the Lies of Satan. So there's two books that you can get. Go check those out for women. It's really encouraging. It's to help young women and help women to be wise and to fight against Satan. So that's what my wife does. And we also have a show once a month called Swords and Skillets. So it's about biblical masculinity and biblical femininity working together to talk about cultural relationships and the power of the nuclear family. So Swords and Skillets, the first episode is out right now on Spotify. Look it up, Swords and Skillets. All right, so let's get started. The show today is called Comfort and Circus. So I was talking to a group of men. We meet like once a week, and we were talking about the persecution in China and all those things. And we were kind of talking about how that persecution seems to make their church stronger. And it was kind of a weird thing because we're kind of was like, man, they're going to grow because they're put under extreme pressure. You know, basically the Chinese church would benefit from going back underground because they will grow spiritually. And it's not because of the persecution, but what the persecution produces, right? So in persecution, when you're under pressure, when you're under war, when you're in a foxhole, it produces community with the people that you are in war and you're fighting alongside. It produces a community, right? It produces a common cause. We have a common cause that we're fighting for. All right, we're fighting against something and we're fighting for something. And in the Christian circles, it provides a dependency on Christ, right? Overall dependency on Christ. So it was like we were longing for that type of persecution to happen in a Western church. We were talking about why doesn't it feel like that in the church in America? And it seemed like we were longing for that. And it's not because we want the persecution, we want the things that the persecution produces, because we realize that the church in America and sometimes our local churches don't have or is lacking in community, a common cause, and dependency on God, and a dependency or having dependence on Christ. So the question is why, right? Like why does the church in America seem unaware of the persecution they're under? Why does it seem that the American church is powerless? And the last why, what can we do? So let me tackle the first question. Why? Why does it seem that the church in America is unaware of the attack, of the attacks that we're under, or of the persecution that we're under? And the answer is simple. The seducing power of comfort and circus. The seducing power of comfort and circus. See, comfort, by definition, in the dictionary, I looked it up, had to Google it, whatever. Comfort is a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. Let's say it again. Comfort, a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. You can see why this is a problem. Because society's obsession with comfort has bled into the church, we avoid anything that gets us out of the state of ease. So we avoid real life community for social media, podcasts, YouTube, blogs, books, all that stuff, right? Not that you can't learn from those things, but we avoid real life community for those things. We try to make a supplement an actual meal, and which you can't do that if you know anything about health and wellness, right? Because it is easier to act like we avoid these things because it's easier to act like you know what you're talking about virtually instead of doing the awkward and uncomfortable or going through the awkward and uncomfortable times of getting to know someone in person, flaws and all. So it's easier to have a community online because you really don't know the person, right? You don't know, you barely know what the person looks like. They have a on-screen icon or whatever, but you really don't know. You know what they're thinking, maybe, but they could be putting on. So virtually, it's easy to, and even if you have Zoom calls back and forth, you don't know them, right? You don't live life with them. You don't know their struggles and their flaws. Even if they're sharing, you really don't know. It's about that real life connection. But because it's uncomfortable, we rather stay online. We rather stay on Zoom. We rather stay 1,000 feet apart. We rather stay 1,000 miles apart from your closest friend or whatever you consider your friend on Facebook or YouTube, or we rather listen to YouTube videos and podcasts than have an actual community of men to guide you and lead you along the way, right? Because it's easier. So it's uncomfortable not to do that. Men avoid brotherhood and women avoid sisterhood for the same reasons. We choose to be miserable and lonely because it's uncomfortable to do otherwise. We are literally, we know that we lonely. We know we need a community. We know we need people around us, but we choose to be miserable and lonely. We choose that because it's uncomfortable to do the other thing. It's uncomfortable to talk to people. It's uncomfortable to make a conversation. It's uncomfortable. So we'd rather be comfortable in the mess that we're in than uncomfortable and get ourselves out, right? We choose to leave, this is one. We choose to leave the raising of our children solely to the youth pastors and the government schools because obeying God when he says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6 verse 4. We'd rather not obey that because it's just too uncomfortable. So let the youth pastor raise my kids. Let him go to youth group and teach. Let the youth pastor teach. He's a professional. Let the professionals handle it. He can handle, he went to school for this. Let him handle raising my kids in an admonishment in the ways of the Lord. Even though God told me to do it as a man, let the youth pastor do it. He got it under control. As your kids are licking peanut butter out of each other's armpits and having mystery games and hugged up on one another and stuff like that. But, you know, let the youth pastor do that. So I can sit back because it's just too uncomfortable to read the scriptures with my kids. It's too uncomfortable to lead worship at the dinner table. It's too uncomfortable. So let the schools, let the government raise my kids. Let the government, let Caesar raise my kids. They're not going to turn out to be Romans. They could be missionaries in the field. Let them be missionaries. But you haven't taught them about God. You haven't taught them, you pastor, but let them be missionaries out there. Let them be a light to the world because you don't want them to be silly homeschoolers, because homeschoolers are weird, but your kids are learning about how you're racist because they're white, but homeschoolers are weird. Your kids in the public schools are getting taught the LGBT is okay. But, you know, homeschoolers are really strange. Your kids are getting taught by non-binary teachers, which are women, you know, dress and look like women, but they're dressing like a dude. Your kids are being taught by those people. But, you know, go ahead. Homeschool is weird. So let the government raise my kids. And we leave all this to the government, to the youth pastor. Why? Because it's just too uncomfortable to do what God said. Right? We refuse to eat meat so we can, we refuse the meat We refuse to dive into scripture. We refuse to grow up in the church. We refuse to take responsibility for our spiritual growth and actually apply what the pastor is saying. We refuse those things so we can heap a spoonfuls, heaping piles of lukewarm mush in our mouths and just swallow them while we're getting all large and big, and we just continue to absorb and absorb things and absorb things and give me more, give me more. All right, we do that with the with biblical things, and we keep on spoonful of lukewarm mush in our gullets. Just oh thank you, oh thank you, big mouth hungry. Right, we do all that because it's just too, uncomfortable to chew, right? We don't want to dive into the hard parts of the scriptures and have a wrestling back and forth. We don't want to. Let's Jesus wept, right? The Lord is my shepherd; I shall not want. We don't want to dissect and try to figure out how the law applies to our life and how Jesus. We don't want to tackle those things. We don't want to dive in with our kids and talk about race in the way the Bible talks about race, right? We don't want to talk about that. We don't want to talk about how God made humans with different melanin amounts, and there's no different race of humans. There's no different species of humans. There's different lineages and ethnicities. Yes, there's different people groups. Yes, but race as a term comes from Darwinism. We don't want to die. We want to give me my blessing. I'm gonna get mine. That's good stuff. Solo scriptura, which is good stuff, right? But we don't want to dive into that, what that really means. We rather, it's just too uncomfortable to chew on hard things, so we want the mush. Give us the lukewarm mush, please, and nothing else. We don't want to disrupt our digestive system, you know. So we sit comfortably ignoring the signs of war. We ignore the millions of babies being murdered every year by Planned Parenthood. We ignore the thousands of men committing suicide every year for lack of brotherhood and lack of strong communities. We ignore the millions of families impacted by divorce, absentee fathers, Jezebel mothers, and dysfunctional households. Instead of quenching the fiery darts of the wicked with our faith, we sit idly by and watch the darts hit everything around us. We sit because it's comfortable, and getting up takes too much effort. We sit. We're sitting in churches, doing nothing, complaining, watching the whole world burn, eating our mush. Get my best life now. God's gonna give a blessing with my name on it. Right. Youth group, give me more. Youth group can handle it. My kids can do. Right, we do all that. Darts are flying, but we're too comfortable to stand up and do anything. It takes too much effort. It's too uncomfortable to change. We know that we're miserable. We know that we're lonely. We know Planned Parenthood is killing, murdering babies. We know that men are committing suicide, and there's a lack of brotherhood, and there's a lack of masculinity. We know those things, but it's too hard to do anything. I'd rather sit here and eat my lukewarm mush. Please do not bug me. I'm comfortable. Do not bug me. I'm too comfortable. In this war, in the foxhole, well, this is what we do. In the foxhole, instead of getting up, taking shots, ba 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 ba, baking that, hunting back down, getting up, taking shots, ba 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 ba, throwing stuff, boom, getting active in the war. What we do in the foxhole, we plug our ears, cover our heads with our blankets because it's too uncomfortable to fight. So we're in the middle of the war. We have our comforter and pillow and our comfy couch or recliner, and we're in a foxhole just chilling, just boom, boom, bombs. No, I don't want to hear that. That's too much commotion. I don't want no commotion. Let me plug my ears. Let me plug my ears so I don't hear anything. Let me cover my head so I don't see anything. Let me stay comfortable in my sloppy mess. Let me stay comfortable. Let me stay comfortable. Because, you know, it's too uncomfortable to fight. I don't want to exert any muscles. I don't want to actually take out my sword. I don't want to engage in battle because I might get hurt. It's safe like this. It's safe right here. Right. So let me go to the circus. So we talk about being comfortable or the comfort. Let's talk about circus. So circus is just another fancy term for being entertained. The glittery, clown-filled, tightrope walking, trapeze-flying, dopamine drip that keeps you distracted from what's going on. It's so intoxicating that you won't dare to look away for fear of missing out. In the circus, sermons turn into motivation speeches about how you can get yours and be a better person. In the circus, worship music is turned from worshiping God to self-worship with Christian glaze on it, you know, so it can go down a little easier, right? In the circus, thrills are not too thrilling, you know, not too risky. There's just the right amount of excitement to keep the audience on the edge of their seats. There's just enough to keep them engaged, entertained, and wanting more. So like the churches during the Holocaust, if you ever heard that story, look it up. There was churches in the Holocaust that while the Jews were getting shipped off to concentration camps, they turned up the volume to their circus or sorry, to their worship music. They turn up the volume so they won't hear the people screaming for help. Do you understand what I'm saying? They turned up the worship. So they won't hear the people screaming for help. They turn up, look. So this is what we do. Like the Jews in the Holocaust sit to con, like the people in the Holocaust, when the Jews were getting sent to the concentration camp, we turn up the circus to keep us distracted from the horror that is right outside the door. We are detained by our entertainment. Our entertainment, the circus, is keeping us detained. You think it's freeing your mind. You think it's escapism, but it's really trapping you in. So it's comfort and there's circus. They keep you comfortable and it keeps you entertained. So you don't want to go anywhere. He keeps you comfortable eating the mush. Then he keeps you entertained with glitter and trapeze and cannons. And the thrills are not too thrilling and a risk are not too risky. And it's just enough excitement to get you all involved and engaged and wanting more. You want more so you won't pay attention to the people dying in the world, burning. And you won't get engaged in the battle. And that's why it seems that the American church or the church in America, even our local churches where we are, where I'm from, right? That's what it seems like we're so powerless. And the reason why it seems like we're so powerless is because, look, we are being choked slowly by the serpent. The serpent cannot defeat the church, capital church, the church universal, but he can suffocate different bodies of churches. By subtly squeezing, right, the life out of the people. That's how snakes constrict. You know that, right? They apply pressure until the prey exhales. Then they squeeze until the prey is unable to breathe. Now they can devour the prey whole. You know that? You know that boa constrictor will squeeze, and if you're resisting, right, and he waits until you exhale to get a relief, take a breath, and then he squeezes again. So the next time you take a breath, you cannot take a deeper breath. Then he wakes again, and he squeezes while you exhale until you're unable to breathe again. Then he can swallow you whole. Every time, and this happens. This is how the squeeze is happening. Pay attention. Every time a man avoids responsibility and brotherhood, every time a pastor changes a sermon because a woman might throw a conniption fit, every family that is lonely because the same people talk to the same people every Sunday, every loud and modest and immodest dressing girl, effeminate boy in youth group, every woman pastor with definitely not a pastor, but I'm gonna say pastor with quotation marks, every woman pastor allowed in the pulpit, every Jesus is my boyfriend worship song or Joel Osteen-ish Christian book, the serpent squeezes a little tighter, just a little tighter. Every time we allow these compromises, the serpent is squeezing. Every time we allow these things, these abominations and serpent squeezes. Every time we allow the things that God said we're not supposed to allow, the serpent squeezes tighter and squeezes tighter and squeezes tighter. So James, you talked about the comfort, right? You talked about the circus. Now you're talking about how the serpent is playing us, and he put these things in front of us to get us comfortable so he can squeeze on us, right? What can we do? That's the question, ain't it? What can we do? Look, we rely on what Christ has done. And this is Matthew 28 verse 18 through 20. Look, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. Some translation says, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Because Jesus Christ has overcome the world, we overcome the world through him. We must fight for the faith. We must fight the good fight. We must unsheathe the word of God and attack the dragons. We must storm the gates of hell. We will not fail because God is with us. We must fight for the king. You want to know how to beat it? How to do it, how to beat the comfort, how to beat the circus. You got to use the word of God. You got to have Jesus open your eyes to what's going on. Like, I don't like the movie. The movie Matrix is a dope movie, right? But you got to unplug from the Matrix so you can see what's really going on. Unplug from it, then fight it. Then fight against it. You must, and you can't lose with Jesus Christ. If God be for you, who could be against you, right? You can't lose. The gates of hell should not prevail against the what? The church. You can't lose. You fight through Jesus Christ, with the power of Jesus Christ, with the power of Jesus Christ flowing through you, you fight and you win. Because we it's already won. Christ has already overcome the world, it says in John. And 1 John, it says that because of that, we overcome the world through him. Right? So John, and that's John 16, verse 33, and 1 John 4 through 5. Let me wrap this up. We are under a intense persecution. However, it is subtle and under the camouflage of comfort and circus. Satan is trying to constrict the church bit by bit. The serpent wants us distracted from the battle. However, we must fight the good fight of faith through the power of Jesus Christ. We will overcome the world. And that's all I got to say about that, heroes. Until next time, be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. For real. Act like men. And be strong out there. Wapow!